What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 91 of Star Wars and Scotch. We have a special guest today, but first, before we introduce our special guest, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Kevin, I'm good. We took a little break. We both had vacations.
I went on vacation.
Yeah, I went to the
Blue Ridge,
Keys.
Georgia. You went to the Keys.
Yeah, a little private island down there.
We didn't go together for clarity on this.
No, that would have been wild. That would have been quite the marathon of vacations if we went to the Keys and went to the mountains.
So Tim and Amy went for their I almost said honeymoon.
Well, it was kind of like a honeymoon. It was like the 10th honeymoon.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. And I took my family to Blue Ridge, Georgia, and we stayed in a cabin in the woods, and I isolated myself and barely checked my phone because I would leave it in other rooms and ignored everyone, and it was wonderful. No offense to everyone. There is nothing quite like an outdoor fireplace and television and watching three seasons of Seinfeld with your friend out there in the evenings while the full moon rises over you. That's my version of nature.
Okay. It's weird. It's like I'm thinking of like just like a painting, you know, just like, you know,
me just sitting there watching Seinfeld.
Yeah, you know, it's like that's like Kevin's perfect painting is just like
a Thomas
him.
Kincaid.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the moon's coming over, you know, big. It's got like a little smile, and there's Kevin. You know,
have like you ever seen the person that has the Thomas Kincaid paintings, and then they paint Star Wars stuff in the Kincaid paintings?
Yeah, they're so cool. Yeah, those are really
awesome.
Neat. Those are great TikTok videos.
Anyway, because Chaco's standing there all awkward and waiting for us to introduce him. Darth Chaco is our guest today at Darth Chaco. Pretty much across the board. There's a couple different variations, which we'll let him get into at the end of the show when we shout him out. But how are you, Chaco?
I am doing awesome. I was just I actually tried to do that thing where I take a painting and like paint Star Wars stuff in the background.
Oh, really?
But the problem is you have to be an artist to do that. You can't just...
I was just about to ask you that.
You know, sometimes my confidence and my ability don't meet up.
That's okay.
And they probably should.
That's Jabba the Hutt, right? That was supposed to be Luke Skywalker.
Like, it looks like a blob of jelly. No, that's actually fun. I have zero artistic ability to the point where like people will come into my office and be like, Kevin, draw out your idea for this. And it literally involves stick figures and lines.
And arrows.
Yeah, it worries some people, but most people get the gist of what I'm trying to get across. But before we go any further, make sure you're heading over to kingscoastcoffee.com. There is something special at the end of the month. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know if Wayne has put out the information on it yet. But it's really cool, and I believe it's the first or second time we've done this. So stay tuned at the end of the month because we got some cool stuff coming down the pipeline. Now,
are you talking about Kona?
Did he announce it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Cone is coming at the end of the month. I haven't been on social media.
Holy Cone is coming at the end of the month. You scared me. Like, what did Wayne do this time? Yeah, no.
No, he got Kona. Like, he messaged me while I was on vacation. He's like, Kevin!
Yeah, he put it all over Twitter. You missed it.
All right, perfect. So Kona will be out at the end of the month. Very exciting. It's a coffee we don't get that often. So make sure you snatch it up because it can be a while before we get it again. Although this new partner that we have for Kona seems like we'll be able to get it a little bit more often. It's still not like an everyday thing. Either way,
also, who drinks Kona every day?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's not a lot. It's also like an acquired taste. It's like a wine. It's like it's one of those things that it's really nice to have every once in a while.
I like Kona after like dessert.
I think like really rich people just like they throw in their coffee machine, just like how like some people throw in Keurig like or Folgers, like they throw in Kona.
Like the person who ground up the Jamaican Blue Mountain and threw it in their coffee maker, and we were like, ah.
I'm not much to tell people what to do with their money, but like it's just like it's respect at that point. It's just like you got to show it some respect. Like you just gotta little reverence to those beans. Like they ain't
easy to come by. Anyway, kingsoscoffee.com. But which Tim, you have an interesting beverage tonight.
Oh yeah, so I figured for Star Wars and Scotch, it's not Scotch, it's whiskey. But I've got a Bowbreaker espresso martini going on, kind of like with a whiskey twist. So it's got we got a reserve from Crown Royal in here. Shot of that with a shot of espresso, and then just did a little cold brew on it. So,
Taco, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking out of a mason jar because I'm a child, I guess. We break all the glasses. But this is a Basil Hayden. It's a Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey.
Very nice.
Yeah, when I was in Georgia, North Georgia, they were very much like Tennessee whiskey, Kentucky bourbon. No, 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 it's in your face everywhere. And then when we went to a restaurant, the bourbon whiskey list, it was like, oh my God. They have a $70 shot of Jack Daniel's Reserve. Which I did not
for
try.
$70?
It's like a reserve, like single barrel, crazy freaking Jack Daniels that is made, you know, 40 miles away or whatever it was from where we were. It was wild.
But what does it do?
That sounds really expensive for a shot, Kevin.
Macallan is the one thing I will pay extra money for. If you have an aged Macallan or Whistle Pig, if you have either of those, I will pay some extra money for it. But I am drinking tonight. This was generously donated by our good friend Mike Thinks Aloud. Balvenie Caribbean Cask, 14 year, super smooth.
I still haven't had any of that.
There's about that much left.
Holy shit.
So you should come visit me at the office soon and I'll share it with you.
Jeez.
Because I recorded The Office, so I have all of my stuff back here. That's what Jada gave me after GCX. Mike sent that one too. And then I have Jack Daniels in this drawer down here for emergencies.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, I wish I could have
gone to GCX. Got the full CEO look going.
Next year, so I don't know if you've heard, like, we're going to push Star Wars hard next year for the community to come out. Because, like, we were talking before the show, and Chaco said he has to have a difficult conversation with his wife about Celebration next year. Because only one of them can go, Tim.
Oh, no. And you have to tell her that she can't go to London. Oh, my God, you poor person.
Or I hit the lottery, and we're good. So we're working on it.
Okay. One of those two scenarios is a little bit more likely than the other one.
Man, I believe in him. He's gonna get the lottery ticket.
I hope you win the lotto, to be honest. Like honestly, like that'd be awesome. But I don't know. And they're not even doing creator passes anymore. So now it's like everybody's gotta pay. So that was cool to find out as well.
Oh no.
Yeah, they got rid of media passes.
That's a whole thing.
Well, yeah,
they did a terrible job with it this year, though, in my opinion. I mean, they didn't even tell me that I got one until like a week before, and I already had a 4-day pass, and like,
and there's no returns.
No, there's no returns or anything. So, and then they're like, "Hey, you better not give this to anyone," which I still did because I had a pass. And like, what am I supposed to do with an extra pass? Throw it away?
They do that crap at PAX, and like, I go to the guy scalping on the corner, like, you want my pet here?
Who runs that? Is that a Repop? That's a Repop thing, right?
Repop, yeah. And Repop just bought into
E3!
So that'll be interesting.
That's for a whole nother podcast.
at least GCX isn't in June next year. That's my feelings on that. Because I do think Repop has the capability to revive E3, right. But we'll talk
anyways, GCX next year, August, we'd love to have you, Chaco. So this is,
yeah, just let us
know. And if you would like to come to our Star Wars panel and other things that we're planning, head on over to gcxevent.com. We're just gonna start talking about
hoping,
it now.
I'm hoping we get to the point next year where we need a Star Wars dedicated room.
I want that so hot, Kevin. Oh my God.
Because I'm gonna hit up Mark and I'm gonna hit up Swain.
Hamill?
No, Mark Turcotte and Swain, who are part of 501st, and be Got like, it. Yo, bring the crew. Because when Star Wars is Scotch next year, I want the 501st marching past the stage with like there, and then they can go and sit down and relax and enjoy the show. But I want them there, you know, and I'm gonna bang on the table and, you know, be like, in order, and it'll be great.
Awesome. I mean, let me know. I have a lot of people that would probably love to go.
You know, as a guy,
we're gonna talk to you, we're gonna talk to Sawyer, we're gonna talk to Alex and Molly, we're gonna talk to everybody about like, let's make this a thing. And then since this one in Orlando, I said to Mindy, who's our COO, I was like, we can take them all and go to Hollywood Studios the next day and be like, yo, let's take a gigantic picture in front of the Millennium Falcon, because that'd
be so hot.
Yep. So, which I know they did at Celebration this year, but we're going to make sure everybody gets in that picture. Anyway, I want to learn more about you, your content creation, your journey. And I ask this of every guest, but I want to know, where did it begin? Where does Star Wars start with Darth Chaco? What's your earliest memory of this amazing franchise that brought us all together?
Oh, man. It started with my mom being a closet nerd. And my earliest memory is an old VHS tape with The Empire Strikes Back on it, like first copy where, you know, a Palpatine is a woman with a monkey's mask with the goggles, yep. that whole thing, and just watching that until I broke the tape, just over and over and over again. There was like it was that I was always watching either that or The Labyrinth, which terrified me to death, but I still watch it. Mostly because of David Bowie's pants, but yeah. So Empire was my thing growing up. Obviously, special editions and stuff start coming out, and so that's kind of my Star Wars that I grew up with, was the special editions and seeing those in theaters. And then, you know, obviously we had the prequels, which I enjoyed, and I got crapped on relentlessly from everyone I knew because they all hated them because, yeah, apparently they're awful. And
can I ask you something? Did the people that hated them now, do they love them now and hate the sequel trilogy? Because I have like a bajillion friends that happened with. They're like, what are you talking about? The prequels are great. I'm like,
I had this conversation with you in 2015 about how bad you thought they were. And now it's different. Now for me, it's actually split, because half of them now love the prequels and hate the sequels. The other half still hate the prequels and enjoy the sequels. It's really
interesting.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. But yeah, so I ended up, I jumped into some of the books and things like that, and I fell out for a little bit because, you know, I was trying to be cool, and back then Star Wars wasn't cool, and you know, you got to be cool, right? Until I started working a job that I was outdoors for most of the day. Living situation was kind of garbage back then, so I went to the gym all the time, and that's why I had headphones in, and that's when I discovered audiobooks, and I dove back into everything, and that got me back into buying all the physical books that I didn't. So, like, to date, I've read, you know, I'm at 143 EU books, and
Kevin's just like you. Kevin does
I'm
the
caught
same
up,
thing.
Caught up on canon. Including two that haven't come out yet. and yeah, I mean, that's where I am now. I started making, you know, I always knew I wanted to start talking about it, though, because I would listen to podcasts, and a lot of the podcasts I listened to were people that didn't read any of the books or anything. So they're speculating, and you're like, well, that's not going to happen because he died over here. And like, you know, and I was like, I need to start just making my own stuff. And then the first thing I did is I went out and I bought a HyperX Quadcast mic. Had never even made a single video. Just like, whatever. I'm just going to spend, you know, $100 on a mic. And that's going to be my driving thing. And apparently it worked. Well, that and losing my job. But yeah, May 3rd, 2020 was my first video.
That's awesome.
2 days before, I recorded a podcast with a friend. And then, yeah, I made my first video on TikTok. And then my second video got like 350,000 views. And I was like, oh, content creation's easy. Yeah, okay. I was a little mistaken. Yeah.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, it's been a really fun journey, and like and I've been able to hang out and meet with so many. I mean, I'm talking with you guys, the people that I would follow and look up to for Star Wars content are now mutuals of mine, and you know, the authors and all this stuff. It's crazy. It's been an awesome journey, though. I love it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I can attest to that, because a similar journey. You know, I remember I've told the story of seeing Luke's lightsaber. I called it a laser sword back in the day. I remember the braiding and the color of my aunt's carpet and all that stuff. But it wasn't until I started reading EU books when I was younger, because my friends would talk about it and they'd be like, oh my God, the Yuuzhan Vong, there's so much more to Star Wars than you know. And I was like, I need to know more of this, because I'm a Lord of the Rings like lore junkie. I use the example too, when I discovered World of Warcraft. I didn't just discover World of Warcraft. I was sitting on the toilet for 2 hours reading freaking WoW Wiki to learn the lore of the world that I was running around in. So when I dive into something, I dive into it. So, you know, very similar with EU. And then I did take a break for a while where it was just like, you know, I didn't love the prequels. I love episode 3, but 1 and 2, right, the less I say about those, the better. I also don't hate people that love them. Let me clarify that. I have no problem with people enjoying those movies. And then I got amped when they announced episode 7 and that J.J. Abrams was going to be directing it. Now, obviously, let down to a certain extent on some of the aspects of those movies, but I don't hate them. I don't shit on them for the most part. There are things that I don't like, but Star Wars, I always say, as a universe, is just a fun playground to be in. Even if I have to watch, I watched Phantom Menace last week. I hate that movie. I watched the whole thing. So it's just the fun playground that we all exist in. And I will say this about the content creators. We've now had guests, I would say, from the Star Wars community for probably 6-7 months now. And everyone has been just a joy to speak with and talk to. And that's been my favorite part of this, is getting to know folks like yourself who share this passion and this love of this IP. So it's just been awesome. And it's really cool to hear you had a very similar journey from like movie, EU, to break, to now the newer stuff. Did you start creating content because of COVID? I have to ask, because you said May 3rd. So I'm curious, was it a COVID decision, or was it like, I'm home, I'm stuck, I may as well talk about my favorite thing? Was it like that?
It was something I was waiting to do. You know, the reason I hadn't done it before is I was working in the financial industry. I was worried if I put my face out there and they'll be like, hey, that's you. So I was like, you know what, maybe we do that later. But yeah, I mean, honestly, 2020 was just a difficult time for a number of reasons.
Sure.
There was some, you know, stuff going on with people that looked like me that gave me a lot of anxiety. This was an outlet to build a community, and it's, now that it's built, it's amazing.
And that's so important. That's a beautiful thing you just said, is like Star Wars gave you that. And to me, that's so special and so indicative of what the intellectual property means to so many people. You know, one of my favorite lines in all of Star Wars is Rogue One. What's the line she says about hope?
Rebellions
are built on hope. And then, you know, you go back to Lord of the Rings and she's like, you know, they say there is always hope. I read a book years ago. It was called Epic. And it basically said, like, it's woven into our DNA that we want the story of good versus evil, and we want good to triumph. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Star Wars is definitely indicative of that. And it muddies the lines in such a wonderful way, where you don't sometimes understand what's good, what's evil, what's bad, what's, you know, and I think that's important, especially when we look at it. I hate people that sit there and they go like, well, Star Wars isn't political and da 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 da. I'm like,
they're idiots.
The freaking empire is based on the Nazis, you psychopath.
Okay. I have to interject because this question has just been killing me. How the heck, Chaco, have you been able to get through a workout and listen to an audiobook at the same time? Because Kevin over here, in the middle of a set, I swear to you, this is what happens. The middle of a set, I'm mid-rep. Kevin, we come and be like, Tim, did you know? And I'm just like, I don't care, Kevin!
I ran over once. I was like, yo, Thrawn's talking to Anakin on Bakhti, like,
I know,
Tim.
Kevin, I know! The mid-set. So how do you do it? Because I tried for a while to listen to audiobooks, and I found myself just getting lost because I would focus on the set, and I wouldn't pay attention to what Mark Thompson was saying, and I'd lose my spot. So props to you. How do you do it? Because props to you for being able to pull it off.
I mean, there are times where I'm like, okay, my mind did wander, so I'll go back, you know, 15 minutes. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'll be, like, deadlifting, and then oh my goodness, who was the guy that trained Darth Bane in lightsaber comes and he's yelling for him to come outside of the facility, and like I hit many personal records.
Star Wars made you hit PRs.
But there also have been terrible times too where you're trying to bench and something makes you laugh. So yeah, you have to gauge it, you know. It's not easy.
As soon as you said audiobooks, Jim, I was like, how does he do it? How?
I think it's just like it becomes automatic to an extent, like the workout that you're doing and the story is kind of like just being pumped into your brain.
Oh, dude, when I'm listening
to
Mark,
you can visualize it, but you're just doing your work and getting shit done.
I get so deep into it, I guess.
You're a different breed of person.
The other thing is I don't listen to them on normal speed.
Oh, I don't either. I listen to it 1.5.
You have to find, like, and sometimes it varies, you know, book to book, but, like, when you find the right speed that's, like, at the same speed that you take in information,
yep,
and you're not listening to someone say anything, you're just in it, you know?
Have you ever just gone back and listened to it at normal speed? It sounds like someone's reading to you in slow motion. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, because I got my wife into it, and so like I'll hop in the car with her, and she's catching up on the High Republic right now, but she listens at normal speed, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm getting molasses poured on me or something.
It feels
like
so slow.
Normal speed. I can't do 1.5.
Yeah,
I like to soak in the moment and I'll rewind sometimes. Like if I know I missed something, I'm like, I'll go back because I want the information, especially with I'm reading Shadows of the Sith right now, Chaco. I'm like, I think I have like 8 hours left, and like I've rewound like 5 times because there's a lot of information in this book that would have really helped a lot of people through 7, 8, and 9.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not. I'm just saying there's a lot. Have you read it, Chaco? I'm assuming because you said you're all caught up on canon.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying right now. There is a lot of information in this book that would have helped people get through 7, 8, and 9.
That would have helped. My stance on it still remains. A lot of it isn't needed to understand Rey's journey, but there is a lot of helpful information. And also
for
just spending time with Lando again.
I understand why they didn't introduce it, because there's so much about Palpatine. I'm not giving any spoilers, Tim. There's so much about Palpatine in this that it would have ruined the, you know, episode 9. So they couldn't really do it beforehand. But
Exegol is so cool in this book.
Oh, God, Exegol's so cool. It's cooler than you thought before, Tim.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Is it the Starforge?
It still could be, in my opinion. Could be. Until something comes out canon, or if this new game is a change in the story that makes it canon,
yeah,
I still maintain that how the hell they build all those ships.
Yeah, I can't get off of it. Well, yeah, because if you go back to any of the other previous novels that have talked about the building of the Empire, like, they're sucking materials out of multiple planets in the Outer Rim, and so, like, people would have recognized that was going on. Like, there's no way they could have gotten away with that building an armada or, like...
This,
Unless just because Exegol is so far away and it's so desolate, like there's just raw materials everywhere. Like I feel like someone would have noticed that planets were being sucked dry, but who knows? There's
three things with that. One, Exegol might not even, how do I say this, Chaco? Exegol might not even be a planet. It might be some sort of plane of existence.
Oh, shut up. What?
Am I wrong, Chaco, in the way I'm phrasing that?
There's a lot that happens, and I just I need more. Like I thought I had what? Enough by reading the Dark Fables, I believe it was. There's a little bit about Exegol there, which, you know, the story of Dark Noctis is in that book. If you're curious, I recommend maybe giving that a little read before before this. Anyways, There's a lot, and it's very mysterious, and it's one of the great things that this book does is it brings a lot of mystery, it brings a lot of darkness, it brings a lot of the Sith back. Reading this book makes me feel like we're gonna get a lot more Sith content, and hopefully this will take us back into the Old Republic. That's where I'm landing from reading this. I feel like they're priming us.
They literally say Revan's name at one point in the book. Flat out.
So sick.
I'm not going to say how or why, and it's not that important.
Yeah, but they
literally say his name. The big thing you're going to enjoy is they flesh out the Sith Eternal, so you have a much better understanding of who they are and their role, and you know what they're doing, and they're pretty wild. And my third point is I'm really happy that Ochi Bassoon was not in the movies, because his voice would have grated on my soul by the end of the movie.
he's better read. So
yeah, I agree.
It's interesting because that's one I actually haven't gotten the audio. I mean, didn't do the audio for, because that was one of the arcs that I got. So I read that as an EPUB, which was my least favorite way to read anything ever. And so I didn't get the voice with it, but I've heard everyone just complain that they picture him going inconceivable.
Yeah, that's what he sounds like. He sounds like the guy from Princess Bride. So it's
inconceivable.
And it's really rough. He doesn't have a lisp, but it's really rough to like take him seriously.
Yeah.
Like there's a part where he does something terrible and he's like gawking like this while he's winging it. And then he does something terrible and you're just like, how did we get from that to that? So that would be my one. It's not a complaint, but it's my one thing. The other thing with the book, too, is Rey's parents. Like, oh, my God, the understanding you now have of Rey's parents. Like, all of a sudden, episode 9 is not so crazy, mysterious, and weird. It's like, I get it now. So, and I'm not even done. So, Chaco, you can speak more to the fact that, like, if that's fleshed out further, which I'm assuming it is.
It is fleshed out. But obviously, we all know where their story
where
ends.
It ends.
And it makes you... And the more you read the book, the sadder you get, because you're just like,
that's how I'm feeling. Like, it's like almost like this weight that I'm carrying. Anxiety. The book.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just getting heavier and heavier because, you know, you're getting essentially, Tim, you're going to get to the point where
you're
going to
the point where they die, right?
Jakku. Yeah.
Or they get left. OK.
Yeah. So, you know, you're getting to that point. So you're just like this poor child.
Yeah.
And then the big thing is when you experience the relationship she has with her parents, that's what's going to make it hurt. I'm going to let you enjoy it, but
that's, and then Lando, it's good. It's good. One thing I really like is that a lot of the people that have been writing Star Wars books right now are clearly big fans of the expanded universe. So like, they will like throw in these little nuggets, and I just they're not needed, but like I squeal with delight when like certain things happen. I don't know if you're at the point, but yeah. Certain things happen. It was heavily happening in Brotherhood as well.
I'm on Nightside right now, and everything's going wrong in Nightside. I'll tell you that much. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, it's Tim, you're going to love it, because it really dives into the Sith.
All right.
And it talks about ancient Sith, which is why Chaco's saying there's a heavy, like, it could be the avenue to that.
I've got
to
get through the emotional roller coaster that is Brotherhood first. So when I'm done with that.
Did it hurt more because watched Obi-Wan?
It does. Yeah. If anything, it makes Obi-Wan hurt even more.
Did they do that on purpose?
I think so. It is such an emotional punch because it not only does it really showcases the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan very well, but it also really highlights the relationship that Anakin and Padme had. And I think that's the part that hurts even more, because it really shows the pain and the anguish that Anakin has with the death of Padme. Like that whole thing is just, it's like they go on a date, Kevin, and they talk about this date that they go on, and it's so cute and it's adorable, and they end up banging in the back of the speeder at the end, and it's just like, you know, it's like that, it's like a cheesy 80s rom-com, you know, or like just like or like Grease essentially. You know, like that's how it felt, and it was so cute. And then it's just like, no, this is the dude that's gonna choke you out on Mustafar. So it's just like, again, it continues to build on Anakin's character and really humanize him and show just how much shit he goes through. So yeah, I really like it. It's a really, and it's a cool story too. It's really neat.
Is Mace Windu in it?
He's referenced quite a bit.
He is actually Anakin and Mace. They really shows how much that Mace hates Anakin.
Tim does not want Mace to come
back. Fuck off, Kevin. He's dead.
I am just rooting so
hard. Oh my
god,
I saw someone did
a rest. I don't want him to come back either.
I don't want him to come back either. I do too, but he got launched out of a window. I saw a render of him and he was holding on to Grogu like in this like little like baby Bjorn. And then he had like this respirator mask on the front, and then he had like the scar down his side. It looked so cool, and I hated it.
Yeah,
I just don't want him to come back.
But that'd be so badass if Mace was the one.
I don't know it's gonna happen. Like, I just like the way that Filoni's been going. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Mace Windu shows up at this point.
I would like to see Mace Windu as a big brown and red puddle on the Coruscant.
That's how it should be. I hate this whole like, that's oh so no, dark. He just force caught himself. It's so silly.
Well, okay. The other thing is, I know a lot of people want him to come back, like to face Boba Fett, and they're like, because he killed Boba Fett's father and stuff. But they already like hashed that out, and he's moved on. Like, everyone's moved.
Boba Fett's a hero now. Like, he's a good guy. Like, the way that they've put him up on Disney Plus is that he can't be a bad guy anymore. So if Mace Windu was to come and chop Boba Fett's head off, the guy that you have taking pictures with Star Wars fans at the theme parks, it just wouldn't end well.
I did see this, and I agree with this. Someone said, you all want Mace back, but do you understand that if Mace survived, he will become the ultimate gray Jedi, because his anger will play a part.
Oh, he'll kill everybody.
But he could kill Anakin pretty, like, he could.
Sure.
And then, you know, he might want revenge on a certain Emperor Palpatine after that. And Mace fighting with anger, I think, is a pretty formidable opponent, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyways, Brotherhood does a really good job of showing how much Mace really hates Anakin. And
is
I just
Jar Jar
like,
in it?
Fuck off. No, he's not in it. Yes, he is, actually. Shit, he is. Yeah,
he's
he
trying
is.
To
they,
block it
they
out.
They talk about, at one point, Anakin talks about his best, like, one of his good friends, Senator Binks. I'm just like, oh, no.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Yeah, they talked about, like, how courageous or something, some bullshit about him, and I just rolled my eyes. He's miserable.
Yeah, I just watched Phantom.
Well, we know where Jar Jar ends up, so...
He dies! He dies on Naboo as a clown! Because that's what he is, a clown! And he got a clown's death. I love his ending. I'm so happy they wrote it in like that.
The joy in Tim's voice, when I read Aftermath, and I was like, oh, Tim, he's a clown. And Tim's like, he deserved, the son of a bitch. I'm glad he dies a clown and broken. And I was like, oh my God. God, calm down, bud.
My favorite canon fact, though, is because Jar Jar was hooking up with Queen Julia, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
I've read that.
Jar Jar has more game than Anakin.
Anakin doesn't really have game, let's be honest.
Anakin doesn't have game. He's just like, I'm hot. No,
when you watch The Phantom Menace, he's got moves. He's smooth. When you watch The Phantom Menace, at the end, when they smile at each other, do you get a little weirded out? Because I do. I can never get over
when
that.
When she bites her lip a little bit?
Yeah, and she's like smiling at him, and he's like 8, and he's like smiling back, and I'm like, oh, you two are going to fuck one day. That's weird.
You know, it's just like that, I'm watching Clintus.
I thought you were playing Tarkov.
No.
She looks at him and she's like, he's a 10.
Right? He is 10, more like
he
it.
He is 10, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I just watched it, like I said, last week, and I was like, oh, no, I don't like that.
Man, why
The Padme books do make that a lot better, though.
So that's one book that I have yet to read is any of the Padme books. Are they worth the time?
I really enjoyed them. You understand that in the book, you know, the journey is the book, so that you're not like rushing towards a big battle or something like that. But yeah, when you follow these girls on their journey, first of all, Sabe is absolutely my top 10 favorite characters. Super cool character. And especially the last one, Queen's Hope, beautifully written and dovetails extremely well with Brotherhood.
Hey, yo, Tim. But you got
to read. I guess I'm gonna have to read the Padme books at some point. That one, I was just like, I guess I was worried that her story wouldn't keep me hooked. Because like her adventures that she went on in Clone Wars, like they were fun, but it wasn't. They felt like filler episodes to me. Yeah, right. They were just like filler episodes. Like her whole thing with her ex-boyfriend when they are on the banking colony planet. Like that entire story arc just felt so unnecessary. I was just like, okay, like all right. So Anakin's jealous of this ex-boyfriend, and she doesn't care, but they both do. So. It was weird. It's just another one of those like Jar Jar Binks episodes where I just didn't need it. So that's why I've always been like, I've been putting off those books because I just didn't feel like it was worth the time.
So the first one is like her just getting into the Senate and like kind of arranging, getting, you know, at least that was the first one released. The second one released is actually her story during the Phantom Menace. So all of the Phantom Menace stuff is happening in the background, and you find out like, all back at camp where they're like the death toll is catastrophic. Like you see stuff, you see like one of them gets tortured and all this stuff. Like,
oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. So that happens. And then this, the third one, Queen's Hope, starts at the wedding of Anakin and Padme, where you're like,
and
you get to see, it's fascinating because you can see, it's almost like, all right, we have some serious problems and things that we need to talk about, but stuff is just happening. And like, so they never get, they're like, okay, well, we're going to push that back.
And that's how it ties into Brotherhood.
Back. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because like in Brotherhood, Kevin, like they get to a point where like, we've been married and we have yet to hang out together. It was just like, oh, that's weird. It's so weird that you guys decided to get married just so quickly and really haven't even talked.
Chaco, how do you feel about the time jump with the new High Republic book?
I have no idea what to feel about it, but it makes sense. So a lot of these High Republic books have all been referencing, like I even started to notice it because they're all like, yeah, there's a thing that happened like 150 years ago, or like, yeah, oh, people wore these costumes. They were like a crazy death cult 150 years ago, but then they went silent. I'm like, we keep going back, like, okay, that's cool or whatever. So then when they announced that, it makes me really excited though, because especially after reading Eye of the Storm, Markion Rowe is, I love him. I love him so much. And I didn't think I would. I was like, how are you going to introduce like someone who's like not a Sith or anything and have them be like a really credible big bad? And then they did. And he's like the Moriarty on the BBC's Sherlock, yep, where he's like,
oh, wow,
extremely intelligent, high, unhinged. You're like, does he have a plan? Like he has, it's not even a plan. It's like a set of goals and like a vague idea of how he's going to accomplish them. And he's just nuts. And I love him so much.
Yeah, I he was a shock to me as how much I enjoyed him. And then the Drengir, I was like, oh, good, the flood from Halo, cool. And then I read
God, they're so much scarier than that, dude.
I'm bad with book names, but the second book, and I was like, oh, my.
Into the Dark?
Yeah.
Into the Dark. I was like, they are terrifying. And then Then they made a point to drive home numerous times. They're like, yeah, the Sith are scared of them.
That's
too.
The part,
like,
that I want to know more about, that they really haven't touched on enough. Or it's just like the whole Sith interaction with the statues. And I want more of that.
The confirmation that there is a Sith shrine at the beneath the Jedi Temple on Coruscant.
And then you're like, love and you're that. Like,
at some point, you're going to have to explain why Sith were on Coruscant. Like, there's so each thing keeps, like, it's unraveling, but it leads to more questions. And that's why I love Star Wars so much. It's just this beautiful tapestry that, like, there's so many stories that have yet to be told that are going to be incredible.
It's why we're excited for Acolyte, because I feel like some of those questions will be answered with Acolyte. And then now that they confirmed, like, we're going to dive into Ancient Sith, we're going to go to Coruscant in live action, which that's the part that I'm, like, freaking out over. The fact that we're finally going to see Coruscant. And I'm not calling it Moorban. I don't care what anyone says. in live action. I don't care. Once they said I could call it Coruscant again, I was like, cool, never calling it Moorban, because Coruscant's... I'm an old school coder guy. It's Coruscant. You know, and we actually had a,
like,
conversation.
The
about
old
this.
Billy Madison joke. Coruscant, more like Moorban.
We had a conversation about this on the last episode. And I said, that's why I like the idea of calling EU legends, because these are stories and myths that can exist in the universe. And, you know, at some point they do have truth to them. And I think that's what Disney is eventually going to do, is, or Lucas, I should say, is going to flesh them out over time. And we're firm believers, too, that they realize they screwed up a few things early on, and that they do need to provide some level of fan service from the EU and put it into the modern universe. And, you know, how do they incorporate characters like Kyle Katarn and Mara Jade and folks like that? And obviously Revan is canon now. It's just a matter of what part of Revan's story is canon and how much has changed. So I have a feeling we're going to see a lot more of that, where the familiar characters return and they are themselves, but their stories are changed because the timeline is different. And
I mean, I'd Kevin, love... if you haven't read Brotherhood yet, I definitely encourage you to. You can tell Mike Chan was in love with the Revenge of the Sith novelization when he wrote it, and it's beautiful. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. It's a great book. It's that one. I have this one, and then I got to read. I'm going to read finish the second Thrawn book. And then I'm going to go into Brotherhood after that. It's just bringing all this stuff to light. Now, I'll ask you another question. Do you think the Coda remake is going to be a canon version of that story for Disney? Or is it going to be a straight just remake Final Fantasy style? And they're going to be like, this is not canon. This is just for fun.
I don't think it's going to be canon. I wish it were. I wish it would. And I will be very happy to be wrong. But I don't think it will be. And I honestly feel like it would be a smart move just to remake it as it is. I feel like the fan base certain elements of the fan base couldn't handle it. Even if it's a far superior game with gameplay mechanics and stuff like that, I feel like there's going to be people spreading hate regardless. I think certain elements of the fan base may have shot themselves in the foot by being so aggressive
in certain
things. Well, if all you do is spread hate on anything that's been changed, and like, you know, Princess and the Scoundrel is a book that's coming out. And I saw so much hate of, like, this, they're just taking away the courtship of Princess Leia, which is a weird book, and it's not. It's not even talking about the same event or anything like remotely close, but like, I feel like they've scared Disney into saying we just need to tell new and different stories. And I think that that's actually a better idea, in my opinion.
I'm fine with new and different stories. I do like the idea of taking old characters and putting them into these new stories with a basis of what we knew before, which is why. So here's my thing with Coder. And here's why I do think it'll tweak the story to make it canon to fit into their version of storytelling, is because the amount of people that are going to play this game, there's no way to tell them it's not canon. Like, you can tell them it's not canon, but that will not process.
That's the whole thing with Fallen Order. Could you imagine if Fallen Order wasn't canon and then tried to like tell that story, and like people are like, no, it happened in this game though, and Kyle Katarn, like all this stuff. Like I feel like that's really hard for it to not be considered canon at that point.
That's very true.
That is the one reason I think they'll change the story, not a lot, but enough that it fits their version of the universe, for fan service. But also, now again, if they even change one line of dialogue, we know that there are people out there that are going to bitch and moan no matter what. You and I also know that there will be changes to the dialogue because they've already said that.
But here's the thing though, Kevin, is that because it's an RPG and that your decisions actually matter and they dictate to a certain degree what happens in the game, how can every single decision be considered canon at that point?
So there's a canon version of Revan's story that exists. Like Revan is male.
They'd have to make sure that when you boot up the game, it's like for the Star Wars experience, boom.
There might be a novel companion or comic companion that goes with it. That's the canon version of the story. It's the same with Assassin's Creed.
Which seems very likely.
Yeah. It's the same with Assassin's Creed. Remember, they were like, Alexios is the canon, you know, version of the character, and the community was like, no, he's not, he sucks, like I want Cassandra. Like, all right, fine, Cassandra's the canon version of that game. And they did the same thing with Eivor in Valhalla. Female Eivor is the canon Eivor.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Well, they mess with the timeline and there's something wrong with the animus, so you actually don't know for sure, but female Eivor is the one that meets Cassandra, so it's like
that makes probably sense.
But that's my point, is there's always a canon version of these stories,
sure, of course,
and they'll tell it in some sort of medium. But yes, and not every decision you make in the game is the canon decision. For someone, it is out there.
Hey, man,
but
I just want to, you know, I'm asking the questions of the people. That's all.
I hope they just say Revan is canonically like gender as a way to be like, hey, this is canon. So whichever version.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. And also, like, it would just be funny to watch the internet explode.
Just like I'm playing Coder 2 on
that though.
I'm playing Coder 2 on Switch now, and that character I'm playing male because I just like playing characters that look like me. It's just how I play games. But in EU lore, it was female. Her name was Mitra Surik, you know, she was the wound in the forest. Blah 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 blah. So, there are canon versions of storytelling. It's just a matter of which one Disney. And I could be completely wrong, and Chaco could be right, and it's just. And Alex said the same thing. Like, they could be like, nope, it's just enjoy the playground of a modernized version of one of your favorite games, and you know, cool. But the other side of the coin for it too is Disney doesn't ever do any, or I should say, Lucas doesn't ever do anything not on purpose. And the amount of Revan that seems to be ramping up the hill all of a sudden is becoming. Yeah. When I heard his name in the book, I was like, okay.
Well, they have to, especially when they open up the like the teaser trailer is Revan, like with the logo. I mean, like that to me seems like they're just getting ready to pack it all on. Like that's going to be like, that is going to be their drive home, is that he's back. He's here. It's canon. It's Star Wars. Like, this is it.
Because we thought it was when they released the Black Series lightsaber. Then they came out with the news.
Yeah, because we were harping on that for a while. We're like, look, it's canon. They put it on a whole lightsaber, on a box. There's his face. Yep. It's official. It's in Target. You can get it.
Then they had one of the legions of Sith troopers named after him in episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
Then we heard about the concept art that had all of the Dark Lords on the temple in Exegol. Like Malak was on there. Nihilus was on there. Hi, Sawyer. And all of them. So it's her favorite character. She just can't get enough of him.
I did a podcast with her
like
where I wore a mask.
Bravo.
I was like, oh, I have to grab something really quick, turn off my camera, turn it back on with the mask. And like, her face was priceless.
But yeah, all the Dark Lords were on there. And then if we're going to go to live action Korriban, and you know, Yoda, we've seen Yoda in canon on Korriban as well. When you go to the Valleys of the Dark Lord, those temples are for Sith. Yeah. If I remember correctly, it was, I don't remember correctly. But it's for Ajunta Pal is one. I can't remember.
Mark Aragnos have one?
Mark Aragnos is two. There's two others I can't remember. Anyway, but there, that Valley of the Dark Lords, if you're going to Korriban, you're going to the Valley of the Dark Lords.
Most
if you're
definitely.
Going to the Valley of the Dark Lords, you're probably going to one of those temples. If you're going to one of those temples, there's a ghost of a Dark Lord sitting in that temple. And so, I mean,
There is one more reason that I don't want it to be canon, because I would love if you could take a character like Treya and put her after Rise of Skywalker. Like, whatever order Rey puts together, if they have to face off against someone that thinks the Force itself is the problem, I think that would be, like, a really fascinating story, and I would love it to be told there, but that's just my personal sweaty headcanon.
It's a completely different game when you know what she's doing. It is a completely different game, because I'm playing it now, and I'm just like, no, I know what you're trying to do, you bitch. Let's move to news.
Okay.
We got, first of all, did you guys hear about Taika Waititi asking Natalie Portman if she wanted to be in his Star Wars?
Yeah, apparently he forgot the whole thing of her being a part of that.
On set for Thor, he pulled her aside. And I hope she looked at him and was like, bro, I'm Anakin's fucking mom, or wife.
Hey, bro, Luke Skywalker's mother. Star Wars movie I'm making. Maybe.
So, that was pretty funny. But in reference to Taika's movie, he said, if it's not ready, it's not ready. With Star Wars, we don't want to rush. It's something I wouldn't want to just leap into and not feel that it's unique. It's my film, and it makes sense, because that would be a disaster. I'm writing at the moment, so I'm going to do my best to come up with an idea that everyone loves. That comes from comicbook.com. And Taika has also said in the past that his story is going to be original. He's not going to rely on characters that we know. So he's going to bring us to a new place. Chaco, what does that say to you about the story he's going to tell?
I mean, he does love Star Wars, right? Even in that interview, he later starts joking about, like, maybe I'll tell the backstory to Jar Jar Binks from Attack of the Clones. He literally says that in that same interview.
The amount of people that tagged me in that interview, I was so... Did you know Taika Waititi's making a Jar Jar Binks movie? I'm like, you idiots. He's not. You guys are dumb. Oh, I was so mad. I was throwing hands. I was throwing so many hands.
No, but I do. It makes me really excited, because he's a very creative guy. Like, his mind is inside of his mind must be wild beyond belief. And I almost hope he tells a story of, like, the Wills or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
he's one that can do crazy enough things to make that work.
Yeah. It makes me really happy, though, that he's not going to rush it. It's not on a schedule or anything like that. And also that it's going to be a unique story. I think, you know, a lot of the success of all of these franchises is because people are walking into them without preconceived notions about these characters, and they're able to let the story tell them what the expectations are. And if you have that, I mean, that's why I think the DC has been having trouble, except with people like Peacemaker, who no one cared about.
Yeah.
That's why Mando is so popular. And I think, you know, the more unique and interesting stories that we get, I think that's just better.
Yeah, and you make a good parallel with DC. It's like, and it's similar to Star Wars. While it is cool to see Luke and stuff, they're not making content around Luke. Don't get me wrong, I love the new Batman movie. I'm a huge Batman fan, but how many damn times are we going to retell this story? Now, the one thing I did like about this Batman movie is it was year two. We skipped everything that every other Batman movie does to get to a point where we know who he is and we understand it. So I think that's why it did succeed. But, like,
I think they heard me online say that if I have to watch that damn pearl necklace get
fly
broken
up in the air,
I will walk out of the theater if you
ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. I think, you know, if we do it intelligently and bring familiar characters in, but, you know, at this point, we have the High Republic, which is essentially a blank slate sans Yoda. Let's keep telling stories there. Let's go back to the Old Republic and flesh out what Disney's version of the Old Republic is going to be.
Yeah.
So I'm all for these original stories and getting as far away from the Skywalker saga as we can. And I don't even mind if we're in the Skywalker saga timeline, but telling a difference. That's why I like Bad Batch. Bad Batch is fleshing out some cool stuff. You know, they're really circling the drain when it comes to cloning and what is cloning.
I really hope we see a floating hand next season. I'm just really
like in the background.
God, I want that. Yeah, I want Luke's hand floating in the tank.
because I think they're not going to focus on anything cloning in Mandalorian because they're going to talk about Mandalorians.
I swear to politics. God, if they break off from anything Mandalore during that season, if we get some mid-season, the gang leaves Mandalore to go do another bullshit adventure, I'm gonna be pissed.
Well, we know Din has to go like purify.
For some reason, this entire episode's about Ahsoka. I don't know why, but oh God, I'd be so upset. I'd be so mad.
Nah, well, Ahsoka's got her own show now. Which Boba Fett
got screwed. I just have to say it. He got cheated out of some really cool content.
I finally saw the trailer because it leaked again online.
No, okay,
I know you saw it, Chaco. Okay. Don't rub it in.
Okay, so the trailer that released was an edited version of the full length trailer that they all saw at Celebration.
All I know is I saw Hera's ass and it made me really excited. That's all I cared about. Live action Hera got me all crazy and happy.
Yeah,
live action Sabine though. I'm just saying.
I mean, there's
probably
so much
not
the
right tree, but still.
The footage is a little muddied for Sabine, but like Hera's clear as day. Like that's Hera.
Oh yeah.
Well, doesn't Sabine put her helmet down? You could tell it's her.
You can tell it's her, but yeah, in the trailer itself, you don't.
You can see Ezra's back too.
There's freaking Mandalorian jump troopers that they show off in the trailer.
I mean, it's just like.
Next season of Mando is going to be
insane. They're just pulling all the stops out.
Speaking of TV shows and going back to comicbook.com, Obi-Wan Kenobi Rider reveals Reva's original death scene.
We talked about this.
Yeah, Reva's redemption played out differently in the original scripts by Stuart Beatty. In Beatty's version, Reva didn't know Anakin was christened Darth Vader by his Sith Master Palpatine. It was Anakin, Jedi Knight, who, quote, killed her friends, put the scar on her, almost killed her, and left her for dead, end quote, spurring Reva's hatred of Obi-Wan and the Jedi. I don't really think that's news. I think we all kind of assumed that would have been the other way it would have went. But
yeah.
It's nice to have confirmation that was on the table at one point.
Yeah. I have to say, I think I might be on the other side of this, but Reva knowing that he's Vader, she wouldn't know he's Vader then. But we have so many cases in canon where someone who has spent time with Anakin spends time with Darth Vader, and it's like, oh, you're the same dude.
Yeah, Thrawn.
Okay.
perfect example is Thrawn. He's just like, he knew from the get-go.
Thrawn kept... Thrawn is such a little cheese dick. I love him so much.
Oh, I love him.
He's just like, oh, yeah, this place is different since the last time we were here, right? Right, Vader? And he's like, listen, I need you to stop
audiobook.
It.
Has made me laugh harder than when he was like Mithron Yerodo, and he's like Mithron Yerodo, and he's like Mithron Yerodo, and then like five times I was driving, I was laughing. I texted him when I finally got out of the car. I was like, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it was very in character for Anakin too, and then knowing Thrawn as well, it was just like, yeah, that is how that would go.
It was
down.
A very like Clone Wars episode. Like if they would have made that a Clone Wars special, like that would have been awesome because like it was a really fun adventure.
Yeah. When's Quinlan Voss going to show up? Which of these new programs is he going to show up in? Because I need him to join the Bad Batch, and together they start the paths.
So I think we'll see him in the in Andor. I think we'll get a little showcase of him coming up soon. I think we'll get more of it, but I think like I think he's full on in animated. I don't think we'll get like
Ahsoka
a long.
Too.
You think he would be really old? Like really 50? Old.
He could look like Ben.
Don't talk about Broman like that.
No, not that Ben.
Oh, Kenobi.
Ben Kenobi.
Oh.
He'd be like that old.
I always wanted him to be in Mando because if they had, like, if they picked him up to help out with Grogu and he's like an old grizzled like,
he's
sad uncle who's like,
with like really long dreads like down to below his
really
ass.
Really long dreads. He's just like he's high out of his mind. He smokes nothing but space weed.
Because he's like, I fell to the dark side. I fell in love. I lost. Mm-hmm. You know, and all that stuff. Like, he'd be a super interesting teacher. For them to just be on the ride.
Yeah, it would be interesting for him to teach Grogu because that would fulfill that kind of internet image of Grogu as like the pure Mando Jedi situation that we've seen. Quinlan would be the only one that could probably pass that down to him because Quinlan's
what if
like
Ezra.
Could be Ezra. I don't think Ezra doesn't strike me as a teacher though.
He's older anyway. Now. I don't like
after
don't
he spent so much time with Thrawn. Bro, he's probably there, yeah.
Thrawn
probably,
in the chaos. You don't know what happened.
He's probably a weirdo now, to be honest.
He talks real slow now.
Yeah, he actually all he does is talk in space whale.
Yeah. Ahsoka, we must go to the next port.
I can't wait to see what happened with Ron. I'm very, very excited for that.
Oh, he'll 100% be in that show. She doesn't walk up to that what was that lady's name? Shove the lightsaber. The magister.
Where is your master? Where is Admiral Thrawn?
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
So good.
This comes from StarWarsNewsNet.com. Diego Luna and Genevieve O'Reilly on why it was important to tell the Andor story. Look, you don't have to convince me, but I'll read it anyway. Luna said, even though it's called Andor, it's about a revolution. It's an ensemble. It's about a group of people. It's about community. You'll have the chance to meet many characters you don't know and visit places you don't know existed in this galaxy.
Sick.
O'Reilly, who plays Mon Mothma, said, the idea of learning about this character for me as much as for anyone. Also, by the way, she looks exactly like Mon Mothma. That's just amazing how they did that. I'll continue reading. Through a long-form narrative was really interesting. We have now the chance to get to know the woman. Previously, she was a bit of a pillar or maybe even a statue. I love that now we get to excavate that little bit and learn about the human being, the woman behind the gown, if you will, which if you read Aftermath and some of the other books, you get to see a different side of her as well. So,
oh, very much so.
Push that out a bit more.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, what are your expectations for Andor, Chaka? Like, what are you feeling is going to happen? What are, you know... similar to like you said with Coder, like you wouldn't be mad if it happened, but you don't think it's going to happen. Like, give us your full, like, this is what I'm thinking about Andor.
I mean, Andor is, since that character is very much a blank slate, we only know that where he begins his story in Rogue One, which is being willing to shoot another rebel in the back because his arm was hurting and he couldn't climb out of there. And you're like, that's some dark stuff. We'd have to see how he got to that point. Also, him saying, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old, sounds terrifying. I'm picturing a six-year-old with with a blaster, like, you know, running around screaming. But I'm super excited about the show. I really am excited about, like, the way that they're telling the story with the time jumps. I think that's going to be interesting. I hope they make more announcements so that the fan base understands that that is what is happening.
Unlike Witcher.
Oh my God!
Witcher, I was lost so many times. I was just like,
yeah, join the club, and
he's old, and then he's
that was such a mess.
I enjoyed it, but I didn't. I don't understand it
until like, but once you got to the end, then you're like, oh, I get it. Okay.
but you know, I also don't want the Kenobi thing of like all the complaints every episode when you're like, they haven't hit the climax of the story. Like, it's, you know, But yeah, having it, you know, jump through these different years every, and I'm rereading Catalyst at the moment, and then I'm so trying to get other people reread Catalyst, and then Rebel Rising leading up to it, so we can spend time in this world, and the politics at this period of time are crazy, and we've never seen them. We're watching, you know, the whole Senate become nothing, you know, kind of dissolve and not have any power. We're seeing there's still separatist holdouts in different places. We're seeing the Empire plant weapons in these like places so that they can come in and take over. There's a lot of really crazy things happening on the politics side that I think is really fascinating. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, we've talked about almost the romanticization, whatever the word is, of the rebellion and how it's always glorified in almost this very light way of like, yeah, they fought back and they won, they beat the space Nazis. But in reality, I think what he says in Rogue One is so important to the crux of the show is like, I've done terrible things in the name of the rebellion. Like, and I think we're going to see those terrible things.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's been in the fight since he was six. He was ready to shoot the guy in the back just to get out. Like we're going to start to see how desperate they became to overthrow the Empire and the things they had to do it. So I think, yeah, the political side of things will be very interesting. Do you think we're going to see Bail Organa in this?
I think we're absolutely going to see Bail. And I don't see any way we can make it out of this without seeing Saw Gerrera.
We have to. 100%.
We'll go with, yeah, no. Lies. Deception. But, I mean, character journey, too, for Saw. You go to Clone Wars, and you're like, that's the same guy?
Yeah,
and then you go to Rogue One, and he's like just a broken shell of the person.
You kind of get like the in between in Fallen Order, where he's kind of starting to show like he's more machine than man, kind of just a little bit.
In Rebel Rising, when him and his group, they just run up into a party and just like mow down everyone, and you're like,
sounds like a Saw Gerrera thing.
Whoa, this is dark. And he's like, you know, in order to beat them, we have to use all their tricks. Like, he is the epitome of, you know, becoming the very thing that you're trying to fight.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, the conversation with the Imperial pilot in Mandalorian shows that when he calls them terrorists, or is it, it was Mandalorian, you know, we've never looked at it that way, ever, not once. And then in that moment, you're like, oh shit, there is probably a large group of people in the galaxy that have the opposite opinion of the viewer. And do view these people as terrorists for reasons just like Saw Gerrera, who's going around using their own tactics against them, like you said, becoming the very thing he's fighting against.
And that's why the Battlefront 2 story would have been so good.
Agreed.
Because that would have been our Empire story of showcasing why the Rebel, you know, in their eyes are bad people. And we've still yet to get a really good story from the Empire's point of view.
Did you get that book, though?
The Inferno Order or Inferno Squadron?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, and I didn't like it. It still gave, like, it started to give doubt as, like, they started to doubt themselves as, like, what they were really doing for the Empire. But, like, originally when that single-player campaign was written and it was advertised and everything, it was supposed to be the story from the Empire's point of view.
Yeah.
And we have still yet to get a really good from the Empire's point of view how they look at the Rebellion, how they look at the Rebels, how they look at all of these things, because we always get it from the Rebellion's point of view. It's just like World War II documentaries. I love to see World War II through the eyes of other factions, just to see, just to understand, like, what is it like? What was it like for them?
Is that the best way to see that?
Hold on, what was the question? Sorry,
is that the story of like Burning Khan and stuff that they talk about with Bill Burr's character in Mandalorian? Is that book?
Kind of, yeah. So I mean, like the whole idea for it was, like, again, they still haven't told like a good story, and like that's what I'm hopeful for is like in Cassie in the Andor show, they do show it from the other point of view as to like them fighting these guerrilla terrorists.
What were you gonna say, Chaco? Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, I think the best place to see that is, and obviously it's still the majority of the book is from the hero's point of view, from the Rebels' point of view, but Alphabet Squadron, specifically the last book in that is one of my favorite Star Wars books of all time. But you spend time with Imperial pilots who are like, we're here because this is all we have left. Like, yeah. the war is over. Everything's done, right? And they're starting to worship the red Emperor's the droid thing, which is crazy, but like it makes sense in the context of the story. Things are falling apart, and they're just like, we're still in this because we still believe on our side.
Yeah,
and it's actually kind of heartbreaking. Their leader is like
about Aftermath.
Yeah. Aftermath is great as well.
I got my girl, Admiral Sloan. She needs to be adapted into live action. What a badass.
Oh,
character.
My God. He wouldn't shut up about Sloan when she was in Squadrons.
She's just like survives at every turn. And I don't know. She's just awesome. I like her a lot.
When you read A New Dawn and then you read Aftermath and you're like, she's been here the whole time. And you're like,
yeah,
she's evolved. She's a menace. And I love her.
I like her. Well, we're going to get out of here. Chaco, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time. It's been a joy getting to know you and talk to you, and we will 100% have you back again, and we will see you in Orlando next year, but and in London, just by yourself, of course.
I hope you can bring your wife.
I do, too. I really hope you win the lotto, too, because that is not a conversation I would want to have with my wife. But please let all the folks know where they can find you on the internet, anything live or anything that you do, your time, let them know.
Yeah, so I'm Darth Chaco on YouTube, Darth Chaco on TikTok. The majority of my content is on TikTok. I'm doing a lot more YouTube stuff. I also have, I guess, two podcasts. There's the High Ground Podcast. We go live Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time, as well as Dyad in the Force with my great friend Element 7. We are Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. But yeah, we talk Star Wars and we go deep into lore, and we were hopefully will be hosting an insane trivia contest, and y'all are going to be invited.
Oh, cool.
Please. Oh, my God, I would love to do that. I'll get actually hammered by people that know way more than Star Wars than me, but I'm down to get
What we're going to do is it's going to be the Dyad trivia tournament, right? So it's going to be teams of two, Jeopardy style. And
I don't want to be on
Tim's team. I don't want Kevin on my team.
Oh, you guys can find other people.
Be like, dear Sawyer, dear Alex, dear Molly, don't join with Tim.
They
join
were my friends
me.
First. Go away.
he's not wrong. But yeah, dude, thank you again so much. You can check out tim.fb.gg/darkness429. Every day, weekday, Saturday. Are you
Monday,
doing Saturday
Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturday. Yeah, but Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time.
If you follow him, and make sure you do, it'll tell you when he goes live on your phone. If you have the app, it just goes boop, Darkness 429 is just going live.
So you get notifications. That's awesome.
Just do that. Yeah, I'm one of those people. Sick. The few, the proud. No. Don't worry, notifications don't work on any streaming platform. I'm Kevin. Everything I do, you can go to raredrop.co and check it out. If you want to send me messages on Instagram, you can do so at kmagic101. I check them every 6 months, so you will get a delayed response.
I was just about to DM you.
If you want to send me a Twitter message, I check those once a week and don't answer most of them. So unless you say something compelling and interesting about Star Wars, then I'll probably answer you. But I'm not really on social media anymore. So the best place to find me is on this show. You know, I'm doing some live streams for Rare Drop. For instance, we're finishing up The Boys tomorrow, watch party on Twitch.
Oh, man.
Mindy's playing Stray next week, Tim.
She's playing what?
She's going to play Stray next week.
Oh, I'm playing Stray right now. I started today. It's really good.
Our COO is the crazy cat lady. She's married, but she's still a crazy cat lady. She'll be the first one to tell you that. So she's really excited to try Stray next week. So we'll jump into that. But yeah, check us out, raredrop.co. Everything we do there. New website coming at the end of August as well. So that's exciting.
Hey.
But in the meantime, make sure you go check out Dark Chaco and everything that he's working on. And we will see you next week for episode. Is it? Oh, God, I closed the notes. Is it 93? Are we on?
It's 92. We're on
next
episode
week
91.
Is 90. Next
this
week
is 91.
Is
next week is 92. Right.
All
right,
Tim, take us out.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for checking out Star Wars and Scotch. It's been an absolute pleasure. And as always, may the Force be with you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.